Jack Mangan.
Holmes, cold chilling in effect.
Deadpan.
In their
podcast.
Kind of rebel rousing. They talk about little things like. We're going to get some Cosby a little very upset by the things you're saying. On the air. Hello?
Yes, hello. Jesus, it was unbelievable. And when I see somebody who's wearing one of their shirts, I think that they're scum too.
Hello?
Do you need it?
Deadpan.
Hello? Do you need it?
Yeah, why do you even pay homage to these people by putting these
crazy sons of bitches
on?
Hello? Hello?
Doesn't have the guts to tell him that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Hello?
Yes, you need it. Yes, you need it. Need it.
Terminator. Ed from Texas.
Thank you. The Terminator Ed. Is one of the members of the group. On the air. On the air. On the air. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, Alan, I think that white liberals like yourself have difficulty understanding that
Jack.
Views represent the frustrations of the majority of
deadpanites
out there today.
I do understand that.
Yeah, but before he came on, you were branding.
Well, if you had read the stuff I'd read about him and the way he's been portrayed, the
Evo at 11 podcast.
Hey, and welcome to Deadpan number 126. I'm your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. Reverend Elations. But you can call me Revelations. So fucking clever, right? This is 126. I don't really know what else to tell you. We had a sort of a dearth of incoming content, but I think we'll still make it through the half hour one way or another. I can probably just fill the time up with unnecessarily long James T. Kirk-like pauses. I can also actually start off with doing something that I hate doing, and I'll turn this slightly into a diary podcast. I'll tell you about a recent adventure I had. I actually played at a place in Phoenix, played at a place called The Fiddler's Dream, which, I had two actually successful shows there, and went well, but, you know, the first time, driving past and see, sort of near where the address is supposed to be, Quaker Church, and kind of laugh, oh, look, a Quaker Church, and keep going, and then kind of get turned around and finally call information and get the exact location of the place and find out, oh, it's on the property of the Quaker Church. So we go to the Quaker Church, and around back, there's this weird little building. And yes, the weird little building that kind of looks like Fonzie's garage is the actual Quaker. Well, no, that wasn't the Quaker Church. The church was up front, and then the Fiddler's Dream was in the back. And this is, you know, from what I understood, one of the reputable places to play in the Phoenix area. So we went in to check the place out, and actually the people were fantastic, so I don't want to make this seem like I'm making fun of the place. They were really nice, and it was actually turned out to be a good place to play, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So we went in, and there on stage was, I mean, you've heard me, I do some of my act is Iron Maiden covers, and Closer by Nine Inch Nails, and you've heard me do Orgasmatron by fucking Motorhead, for crying out loud. But yeah, went in, and there on stage is a bluegrass band, and I was up next. And seriously, we walked in, and there's Emmett Otter's Jug Band on stage. And I really felt like I was going to be the River Bottom Nightmare Band. I just needed to be the snake with the star-shaped guitar. But as I said before, kind of giving away the ending ahead of time, it actually turned out to be a fun place to play. Didn't get paid a whole lot, but it still was fun to play before the room full of people. Supposedly, I'm told that there is even some teary eyes when I did the John Denver song. And yes, I did a fucking John Denver song. And there, I think that filled some space.
If you're looking for a great way to learn about computers, tech, and what's hot right now, then you should check out The Geek Cast. The Geekcast is for computer users of all skill levels and provides tutorials for cleaning up your computer, ditching Internet Explorer, and much, much more. The Geekcast also covers the geek lifestyle, mixing in some gaming, media, and our geek trivia quiz. Each episode is filled with the latest tech news to keep you in the know. To find out more, search for The Geekcast in iTunes or head on over to www.geekcastonline.com to get all the subscription information.
This is a test of the emergency deadpan network. If this had been an actual emergency, you would have been, I suppose, tuned to Jack.
If it's like Star Trek, Star Wars, or Lord of the Rings related, it doesn't matter. You'll just want the box because it'll have a logo on it somewhere with it. You know?
So you have a lot of clutter.
No, I have a lot of stuff hidden away and thrown away that he doesn't know has been hidden or thrown away.
Stolen.
Hello, Jack and Pan. This is Stolen from the 90s. I'll clip out the chorus because I don't think it's really worth it. The return on investment, time-wise, so on and so forth. Anyhow, all we want is a head rush. All we want is to get out of our skin for a while. We have nothing to lose because we don't have anything, anything we want anyway. We used to hate people. Now we just make fun of them. It's more effective that way. We don't live. We just scratch on day to day with nothing but matchbooks and sarcasm in our pockets. And all we are waiting for is for something worth waiting for. Let's admit America gets the celebrities we deserve. Let's stop saying, don't quote me, because if no one quotes you, you probably haven't said a thing worth saying. We fear that pop culture is the only kind of culture we're ever going to have. We want to stop reading magazines, stop watching TV, stop caring about Hollywood. But we're addicted to the things we hate. We don't run Washington, and no one really does. Ask not what you can do for your country. Ask what your country did to you. Crap. Let's try that again. We fear that pop culture is the only kind of culture we're ever going to have. We want to stop reading magazines, stop watching TV, stop caring about Hollywood, but we're addicted to the things we hate. We don't run around in this, fudge. We don't run Washington, and no one really does. Ask not what you can do for your country. Ask what your country did to you. Right. So, what do you want? You want to be famous and rich and happy, but you're terrified you have nothing to offer this world. Nothing to say and no one to say it. But you can say it in three languages. You are more than the sum of what you consume. Desire is not an occupation. You are alternately thrilled and desperate, sky high and fucked. Let's stop praying for someone to save us and start saving ourselves. Let's stop this and start over. Let's go out. Let's keep going. And that was Dogma by KMFDM.
This is Heather Welliver. Deadpan is the motherfucking way.
And congratulations to Heather and Grail Wolf on the birth of their son. Sorry, some important things to cover here. First, would a bisexual guy refer to his girlfriend in Pig Latin as his girlfriend gay? All right, the second, and I guess this would be the third point, first being Heather Welliver's baby.
Baby!
All right, keyboard click. Attention, musicians and songwriters. Pay attention to the following audio memo. No more songs called Children of Something, okay? Enough. Contrary to your stupid hack rock and roll lyrics, we are not Children of Fire, not Children of Madness, Children of the Sun, Children of the Earth, Children of the Gods, Children of the Stars, ad nauseam, infinitum. Children of the Damned and Children of Tomorrow are done. We're not even Children of Deadpan, as kind of cool as that is. Next point. It is expressly, absolutely forbidden to ever release another song with the word jump in its title. Come up with something else, Coleridge. This is no longer 1984. Stop it. No more rhyming the word crazy with baby. Baby, baby, you're driving me crazy. Technically, those two words don't even fucking rhyme. And hey, you ended a line with the word world. The next line should clearly end with some variant of boys and girls. If you were tacky enough to have the line, take my hand in your song, then you must not rhyme it with something about this land. If you take my hand, I will not rule this land, or cross this land, or walk this land with you, because you suck. Please, no more following up on the word wild with child. Thank you, Blackie Lawless. And yes, insane rhymes with brain. Congratulations for noticing. But insane in the membrane still makes no sense, Cypress Hill. Do you think they were talking about dimensions and string theory? Yeah, probably not. Finally, if you end a line with the word please, just don't follow up with the phrase on my knees, unless it's a dirty song. Otherwise, just don't do it. Please, please, please. No.
So it has come, she said to him in Vulcan. She moved closer to him, speaking quietly. It is called Ponfar. He could not understand her words, but her tone calmed him. Will you trust me, my mentor? My friend? I know it is no longer you, she thought, but I will help you if I can, because of who you used to be. The sound of his labored breathing filled the cave. She knelt beside him. She was not certain that anything she could do would ease his pain. They were not formally pledged, psychically linked. His body was so fevered, she could feel the heat. So fevered it must burn him. She touched his hand and felt him flinch as a thread of connection formed between them. She guided his right hand against hers, then put her left hand to his temple. His unformed intelligence met her trained mind, and she used the techniques he had taught her, it seemed so long ago, in another life, to soothe his fear and confusion. Savick felt the tangled tautness of his body begin to relax. Spock reached up and gently touched her cheek. His fingers followed the upward stroke of her eyebrow, then curved down to caress her temple, as Savick met the gaze of his gold-flecked brown eyes. Star Trek III, The Search for Spock.
Deadpanites, give me some Tomy, baby.
And now, actually, I'd like to open up the door for you, if you have an idea, as I know, actually, that I spoke to a deadpan friend and listener who had an idea for bad lyrics, which reminded me of this segment, which had been written. So I'm kind of opening up the door for you and your bad lyrics, if you want to talk about them on deadpan. Yes, even if they're mine. But anyway, now for possibly the worst lyrics to any song ever, ever, ever. And surprisingly enough, they're not Def Leppard lyrics. Are You Getting It? Yes, Armageddon It is not even as bad as the song. I discovered this one that I'm about to tell you about as a teenager. It can be found on the Motorhead album Orgasmatron. Now I'll give Lemmy Kilmister and the boys some credit. The album's title track actually uses poetic, literate verse and visually compelling, bleak metaphor to describe the corrupt war franchises and blood profit personality cults of world leaders and governments throughout history. Lemmy employs some darkly epic language without ever using the words jump, laser, baby, or rhubarb. I mean, this is a song that, again, I've covered on Deadpan. However, the song directly preceding it on that album, on the Orgasmatron album, is not quite as Shakespearean. It is entitled Dr. Rock. The first verse to Dr. Rock are as followed. All right, all right. I hope you sons of bitches see the light. You again, you again. I know you've got a mental age of 10. Listen up, listen up. I wouldn't swap you for $1,000. Come on, you're the one. I think I'm going to switch your laser on. I've got the medicine you need. I've got the power, I've got the speed. I'll find out how to stop your clock. We sure ain't talking Dr. Spock. Hear me talking Dr. Rock.
This is Terminator. Ed from Texas. Fry up your brains on Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
Ooh. I'm all tingly.
And I don't want to sound like I'm taking anything away from Watchmen. It is a very important work, but I think there's better work. And I think
that's a good way of putting it, actually. Yeah, because I mean, you're right. You're not discounting its importance in history. And actually, I've not read it's better in the comic medium, but you know, but I actually have not read the two that you've listed as better.
You've never read V for Vendetta?
No, I've seen
Oh my God, Jack! Yes. I swear to God, next time we get together, I am buying you a freaking copy of V, because that is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant piece of work. You know, when people say, well, these are the comic books you should have in your collection, they always mention Watchmen. I would go, you know, take out Watchmen and put in V for Vendetta. And I will argue that with any hardcore. Heck, I would argue with Alan freaking Moore himself, him and all of his manic, crazy shit, and I'd argue with it with Will Wheaton. I mean, I believe as good as Watchmen is, I think V for Vendetta is a better piece of literary work, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You got to call it V for Vendetta, because when you call it V, then I start thinking of Mark Singer.
I know, and that's why I kept that tagging on V for Vendetta, because I was also thinking too of the really cool red uniforms and the sunglasses and all that. Yeah. I find it also to be a more well-rounded and a more and it's not like it's an optimistic tale. It is not. It is not a sweet, happy ending by any stretch of the imagination. As a matter of fact, I would say Watchmen is more optimistic than V for Vendetta. But at the same time, I just feel like that V for Vendetta is the. That's the one that people are going to look at maybe, you know, 50 years from now or, you know, 100 years from now when you and I are pushing up the daisies. And it seems appropriate to talk about death and doom and gloom as we're talking about Alan Moore.
Right. Well, unless one of us turns blue and then we...
There you go. That'll change everything. But I have a feeling people are going to look back and go, yes, Watchmen was a very important work. But V for Vendetta was truly the turning point. And, I mean, I'm looking at the publication dates of V for Vendetta, and at least on Wikipedia, they got it listed as 82, which I believe that puts it – they say publication dates between 82 and 88, and there were 10 issues. And I'm assuming – yeah, it said first episodes of V came out in black and white. So you were right there. Black and white between 82 and 85 – in Warrior, a British anthology comic from Quality Comics. So probably didn't get it over here until later.
Right, I see.
And that's why I guess Watchmen gets more of the love than V does. But I just think V's a better I just think it's the best of all of Moore's stuff. And when I reread V for Vendetta and I watched the trailers, which looked promising, I thought to myself, there's no way they're going to get all of this in a 2.5-hour film.
Right. Well, and, that's what we're thinking right now, pre-Watchmen. That's what we're thinking, the same thing.
But, yeah, but Zack Snyder didn't pull a Matrix on us. The Wachowski brothers, you know, I look at Zack Snyder's last two films, and, you know, his remake of Dawn of the Dead? Yeah, Dawn of the Dead. Was not bad. It was actually pretty tight. I didn't like it, but it was still really good. It was well put together. I mean, I can tell when a movie is well put together, and I still won't like it, but I can tell when it's been well put together. I loved 300. I absolutely loved 300, and it's not because I like movies about gladiators. I just really enjoyed 300.
Well, you know, I'm actually sitting here flexing my pectoral muscles, ironically.
Thank you. Yeah. Nami has. Okay, and, but no, 300 I thought was brilliant. So Zack Snyder has got, you know, those are his last two films. What about the Wachowski brothers? The last two films I saw from the Wachowski brothers were Matrix Reloaded, and Matrix Revolutions. And I thought, okay, yeah, and now these guys have got their hands on V. So I sat out the film version of V for Vendetta, and maybe that's what I should do. Maybe I should watch Watchmen and then turn around and rent V for Vendetta. Why not?
Think you should. All right. I'm going to jump in. I'm actually going to shut us down because we've been going for a really long time. but I do have another question for you. So I'm going to lead into this question with a quick comment. Is that first of all, you know, I think the Wachowski brothers deserve a better rap than they've been getting. You know, yes, the third Matrix movie was a complete. We need to come up with a new term for train wreck, but the third movie was a train wreck. The second movie was a fun, mindless, stupid action movie. People wanted this brilliant, revolutionary thing, and it was just a fun movie where stuff blew up and they fought on top of. They had a fight on top of trucks on the freeway, and I was happy with it for that aspect. If you said, "Oh, it's deep and smart," no, it's not. But I wasn't going in there looking for that. So I was happy with the second Matrix movie. The third one was complete. There was nothing good about it. There was like 5 minutes where the things were attacking. They were shooting at them in like these Battletech things. I was like, hey, this is finally not sucking. Oh, now it's back to sucking.
Yeah.
Speed Racer, I've actually stuck up for a lot around Deadpan. Speed Racer.
Oh, that's right. They did Speed Racer. For God,
Speed Racer's gotten completely maligned. But Speed Racer, I think people were taking their dates or, you know, big groups of emo people were going to see this together on like, you know, opening night for midnight. And then they were seeing a kids' movie, and they were disappointed. And granted, if I had gone, I would have probably been disappointed in the same thing if I was expecting that. But I took my kids to see this kids' movie. The kids loved it. I actually enjoyed it through that framework the same way that I enjoyed, you know, a Pixar film. And no, it's not as good as a Pixar film. But Speed Racer is really, really a really good kids' movie. Watch it with a little one and watch how, you know, they'll be mesmerized by it. And, you know, and you can enjoy it through that framework.
Terminator. Hi, everybody. Nina Hartley back again. This time with one of those kind of tapes that everybody's interested in. That's right. We're talking about anal.
Deadpan.
Lay down. Turn around. Here come the sister gonna strip you down. Shut up. Breathe in. Let's have the address of your next of kin. Chin up. Shoulders back. You've got a body like a Marshall stack. Keep still. Take your pill. Or I'm gonna make you really ill. I've got the medicine you need, I've got the power, I've got the speed. I'll find out how to stop your clock. We sure ain't talking, Dr. Spock. Hear me talking, Dr. Rock.
Hey, are you... No more bread, honey. You've had 3 pieces. That's a lot for a little girl like you. Don't you think? I don't think you're still hungry for bread. Do you want some... How about... Oh, no, we're not going to be smart. Listen, do you want some... How about an apple? That's good and healthy.
No.
Or some.
I think
some,
I'm full.
You think you're full?
Yeah.
Then why don't you take your dirty plate and put it in the sink for me, please? Are you going to walk with it on your head? That's nice.
This is so going to Jack.
Excellent. He'll appreciate that. I'm certain of it.
I think I have to edit out but everything else.
He knows my children. And, you know, when he comes over here, my children think he is a human jungle gym. And my daughter is so completely smitten with him that at one point she ran. She saw he was leaving. He was on his way out the door. And he was like, he was actually in the driveway when she noticed that she was in the backyard and she realized he was leaving. And she flung herself into the security door and screamed, "Jack, don't go. I need a hug." And he had to stop and put down his guitar and wait. So she just, I mean, she just leapt. And I think she leapt from the door halfway down my driveway to be in his arms so she could say goodbye because she adores him that much. that's fine.
You gotta embarrass everybody.
He's really good with them. My kids just adore him. He's a great guy. He's, you know, he's Jack, obviously. You know. So, yeah. And my children are now screaming for me, so I probably should go. But I, yeah, thanks for taping this. That's great.
You're very welcome.
All right, I better go. They're screaming.
All right, talk to you later, CJ.
All right, bye.
Why?
CJ says, in honor of putting all my music back in my iPod Ellipsis, Scotsman believe take tonight. Vanamon says, CP, cars and girls, prefabs Brout. Ditto says, CP, James Brown ate my bagpipes, taxi chain. The Smarty Hottie says, hey Pan, we've been busy bees here, but just wanted to say hello. I hope everyone is well, smiley face, breasts, Dre and Hugh. The Energizer Bunny says, Jack, I find Steve Vai the king of silly faces when playing. SB, if you're hoping to do some gaming, the Definitely Go PC. If you're looking for just a, quote, working, close quotes, computer, then Mac may be the way to go. I know people prefer Mac for recording music, etc., but my husband is quite happy with Sony's Acid Music Studio on his PC when recording music and such. Ditto says, oh, this is when you guys were typing stuff backwards. Ditto says, smiley face, Tita du gneteg saw I knew sij dna. Niem oi ta is I tub pu ti peak atnuf adnik eb deluo ti bj. And finally, the last of the week is another backwards comment. Amy Bowen says, yeah, we are there. He says, no, I receive the failure. See, it's never so small. Well, I mean, I scans off many certain years in the season and fresh cash. These cells, these is there. See if you lamp girl would fall.
The best way to take our minds off the smell of burning flesh is to begin tonight.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
All right, good night, sweetheart. It's time to go. Thank you for playing along. I have one really good voicemail that's going to be slightly dated, but we'll all make it through. But other than that, I don't really have a whole lot. There's still yet another Darth. I'm not going to go searching for the Darth Vader soundbite, so just picture it in your head. There's a Darth of your content, so please get it to me. Get me stuff. Get me stories. Whatever. Voicemail line is 206-350-TOMY, 206-350-8664. And yeah, stolen lyrics, good lyrics, bad lyrics, terrible lyrics, contents of your fridge, contents of stuff, funny stories, dumbass memories, whatever you want. And that's it. Thank you very much for being deadpan and for listening. We've had people's workplaces have locked down on internet commenting. So we've had two of our most prolific regulars who've been shut down by their Skeksis. But the Deadpan comment page is still a good place to go and chat and catch up with friends. And those two still manage to jump on when they can. So it's not like we've lost them. And, yeah, that's it. This is Babble. Outro Babble is here. So I'm just going to close off. I hadn't intended on playing this song really ever again on Deadpan because I'm not really happy with the way the vocals turned out. But after the contents of this episode, it just seems like the only logical choice. It is a cover tune recorded live before... Well, I guess this actually is not a live recording, per se. Anyway, I'm going to stop friggin' babbling here. Jesus. Deadpan is the MF way. Thank you for listening. And I look forward to more questers from FPM, from Amy Bowen, I believe, is on the way fairly soon, and more of your content. That I also look forward to that as well. All right, I'm out before I say anything else ridiculous. Next, please. Next, please. Try to separate those cowardly knees. X-ray, you've got to pay. The only chance you've ever got of getting away. Here we are. What's that scar? I don't like anything I've seen so far. Pay me. Pay me. I ain't no doctor of philosophy. I've got the medicine you need. I've got the power. I've got the speed. I'll find out how to stop your clock. We sure ain't talking, Dr. Spock. Hear me talking, Dr. Rock.